is, Father, thank you that we can come to you today and know that you love us. Know that you love us so much that you were willing to give your Son so that we may have life. That we may have confidence to approach you without fear. For you love us so much that you were willing to give everything so that we may come to you, that we may know you, that we may experience the fullness of life that you have purposed for each and every one of us. Your greatest desire is to see us come to you without fear and to find ourselves in your embrace, in that place of knowing, that place of safety, that place of absolute peace. Of absolute joy in knowing that our life is secure in you and that we don't need to be afraid, because you are for us. You are not against us. And you love us. And you will never leave us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said earlier, we are here because he's risen. He is alive. This is truly the greatest day in history. The past 3 days, so significant in the history of humanity. It changed everything. But especially today, today is the seal of everything that God came to do through his Son, and we celebrate that. It is in fact the enactment of John 3:16 we heard earlier, of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a powerful enactment this past 3 days was of God's love. It was not emotional. It was not just spiritual. It was physical. It was real. It was Jesus on the cross. And that's God's love. That's what I love about God. God came to us in our weakness, in our frailty. He humbled himself to become one of us so that we may know for sure, so that we can see ourselves, the love and the goodness of God through his Son. And if anything, it was through his death for us when he took our place, our shame, and was punished on our behalf so that we can be free. And that's really the God that we serve. It's amazing, on this day, the apparent defeat became the greatest victory. I mean, 3 days earlier, on Friday, Jesus breathed out his last breath. And said, it is finished. And he died. Jesus died. And with him, the hopes and dreams, the expectation of so many of his followers, that this could be the Messiah that came to save us. Friday, he was dead on a cross. And all their hopes and their dreams were shattered. The Pharisees and the hordes of hell were celebrating. The devil got his victory. The Son of God is dead. The hope of the disciples and the followers was shattered. The faith of those who believed the promise and his promises that he would be the coming Messiah, well, they were confused. Their faith destroyed. They were devastated in mourning and afraid. Nothing made sense anymore. All hope was lost. Because Jesus is dead. Killed by the Romans. But then came Sunday morning. Then came Sunday morning. I mean, 3 days, 3 days have passed, 3 days. You can imagine the confusion. You can imagine the disappointment in the midst of their mourning. And then Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And they were greeted by angels, asked them, what are you looking for? One you're looking for is no longer here. He's risen. And as they turned, they saw him. is alive. The greatest day in history, the Father raised the Son by the power of the Spirit. The Trinity at work all over again. The Father raised the Son by the power of the Spirit. The tomb was empty, the stone was rolled away, and Christ was risen. And first, so interestingly and yet so significantly, the first people that Jesus appeared to after this great victory, and we'll get to this, but he didn't appear to the disciples first. He appeared to the woman. And if you look who those women were, I love my king. He's a humble king. He appeared to the woman. Now you must understand the context of the culture and the history. Women was nothing. They were not even allowed to bring witness in a court because their word meant nothing. And Jesus first appeared to the women. They were the first ones to worship him, the resurrected king. And they were the first ones sent with this message. They were the first ones to be sent with the good news. They were the first preachers of the gospel. They were sent to the men, to the apostles. Go tell them, I am alive. They were the first messengers. They were the first ones not to believe. Because they were not believed. And then Jesus appeared to two of the followers, not even the disciples. Two of the followers on the road to Emmaus. Not Hermanus. Two of the followers. They were confused. They were depressed, they were in mourning, and they were talking about the things that happened. And Jesus appeared to them. And he started to speak to them. And he opened their eyes, and they saw. And they ran back to the disciples. And as they got to the disciples, they shared what they had seen and experienced, that the Lord is risen, he's alive. And they didn't believe him. And at that moment, Jesus appeared. In their midst. And then for 40 days, my eldest daughter came to me yesterday, said, she's a bit confused about all this. Jesus died and he rose and he went to heaven. I said, no. No, he was still around for 40 days. And he first appeared to the woman and then to the two and then to the 11 and then to 500 others. For 40 days, he still remained and he spoke to so many. And then only after 40 days, he was taken up by the clouds back to his Father. So powerful. But you know what? The significance was far more than the obvious fact that he is alive. The significance is far more than the obvious fact that he was alive. It was far greater. I mean, for the disciples and for those who saw him, their greatest joy, their greatest expectation, their greatest excitement was the Lord is alive. He's not dead. He is alive. But the significance of his resurrection only dawned on him later what it really meant. Because it's far more than the obvious fact that he is alive. There's so many Christians today that come to church to celebrate the fact that he's alive. It's far greater than that. There was something far more powerful than the resurrection. It was not just the dead alive. There was something far greater. And I was praying through this, I was meditating through it, and I was searching the scriptures for all the things that this meant, but the list goes on too long, and I don't have enough time this morning. If I was in Africa, maybe I could, but here in South Africa, we're not allowed to preach very long. But Paul explains in detail the importance of the resurrection of Christ. Here in Corinthians 15, verse 14 to 20, he says, "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He has risen up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And so we continue. So what exactly makes the resurrection so significant? What is this that is so important? Well, the first thing I thought to share about is the fact that the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. It is the first thing that we see from His resurrection. It proves that He is who He said He is. He is the Son of God. All the prophecies of the Old Testament and of His own words is fulfilled in that day when He rose from the dead. Not just what was prophesied by the old, but even His own words when He said, "You will break this temple down and I will raise it up on the third day." Even His own words were fulfilled in this day. It proves that He is the Son of God. And Romans 1 verse 3 to 4 says, "Concerning this Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead." It was the clear sign that this is the Son of God. And the tomb is still empty. Everybody tried to prove that He is dead. His body was stolen. But He appeared to not just the 11, but to 500 men and women. He is alive. And it was proven that He is indeed the Son of God. If Jesus would have died and remained dead, He would have been like millions who went before Him and millions after Him. But there was something significant about this man who rose from the dead and never saw death again. He is the Son of God. He is who He said He is. Christ's resurrection proved that He is the Son of God, and all the prophecies have been fulfilled to that. Even the conversation with the two followers on the road is so interesting. If you read here in Luke, as they were pondering about all the things that happened, Jesus started to explain to them. And He says, "Oh, foolish one, how slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they started to see that everything was fulfilled in this day. The second thing that we see in the resurrection, it shows that Jesus defeated sin and death. And that is so powerful that through the resurrection, it is clearly seen that Christ came to defeat sin and death. Throughout the Old Testament, we were never sure whether sin and death could truly be overcome. I mean, even through the law and the sacrificial system, Hebrews 10 speaks about it, that had to be sacrifices endlessly, year after year, as a reminder of sins, but it could never make perfect those who draw near to worship because they still felt guilty for their sins. We never knew for sure whether sin and death can be defeated until Jesus came, until His sacrifice was made, until He spoke those words, "It is finished." And even then, as all the sin of the world was poured upon the Son that knew no sin, that became sin for us, and all our shame, all our guilt was poured upon Him, and He faced the consequences of that sin, which is death,
when he faced the consequences, we were not sure whether death and sin can ever be overcome. Because here is our Savior, dead on a cross. And yet, something happened on Sunday morning that changed everything. Our understanding of death, our understanding of the power of sin, it got changed on Sunday morning. Because Jesus rose from the dead. Romans 6 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Read the next verse. I'll leave that for you. Death is the enemy of mankind and the just and final punishment for every personal, individual sin. Death is our greatest enemy, and it is the final and just consequence for our sins. The mortality rate is 100%. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how hard you try. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have, how much power you have, how much access you have to the greatest technology in medicine. You and me will die. We will die. It used to be so final. No amount of effort can make us escape the clutches of death. But then Christ rose from the death because the death could not hold him any longer. Death could not hold him any longer. And we no longer have to fear death because Christ has triumphed over it. And that's one of the powerful things about the resurrection. We used to be so afraid of the finality of death, but here comes Christ, fully man and fully God, overcoming sin and death. And he rose to new life, and death is no longer final. Because even though he faced death, death could not hold him, and he rose again to life. Christ rose from the dead because death could no longer hold him. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. How powerful is that? So we don't need to fear death anymore. Death no longer is an enemy because in Christ we no longer have to fear the punishment that comes after death. But beyond that, we will live again. It's only the beginning. We never knew if the power of sin and death can ever be broken. Sin was so strong and death so final, but then came Sunday morning. Jesus rose. And the power of sin that brought him to death was broken when he rose from the dead. And it was no longer final. Jesus took all our sins upon himself and the consequences, which was death. But it didn't end there. Death is not the end. It is our greatest hope in times of funerals. I say it so often when I come to a funeral that we do not mourn the loss of the person, we mourn our own loss. If he was a Christian. If she was a Christian, we are not mourning their loss. We are mourning our loss. They're with the Father in heaven forever and ever. And we are there to mourn what we have lost, but not what they have lost. They have gained eternal life. Because death is not the end. It's only the beginning. So death no longer is our enemy. The third reason the resurrection is so powerful is that through the resurrection, it was a clear sign that we have been justified. that the sacrifice of God through His Son for our sins was absolutely pure, satisfying, and enough. It was enough. It is finished. I accept that sacrifice. That sacrifice for sin, it's mine. It's enough. It's over. And to seal it, I've raised Him from the dead. How powerful is that? In Romans chapter 4, verse 23 to 25, the words, "It was credited to Him," were not written for Him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in Him, who raised Jesus from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. He was raised to life for our justification. The fact that Jesus was raised was a sign that we have been justified. That the sacrifice was sufficient. And was sufficient. He did not just die for our sins. He was raised as a sign that we have been justified. And that's a legal term. It literally means it is enough. It is finished. But it means, in a legal term, it means that the penalty has been paid in full. The penalty has been paid in full for every sin that you have ever committed. It doesn't matter how great, it doesn't matter how often, it means it is finished. That sacrifice satisfies God completely. And when we stand before Him, it's not as if God does not see our sins. He sees it plainly, clearly before us. But then He sees the sacrifice of His Son and He sees that is sufficient for that sin. You are free. You are justified. Your penalty is paid. I always use the example in court. If you are caught in fraud and the judge delivers the judgment that says you are guilty and the punishment for your crime is 10,000 rand or 2 years in prison, the moment he hits the hammer and somebody stands up, it's Jesus, says, "Your Honor, here is the 10,000 rand. The judge receives it and knocks on the table and says, "It's finished, you can go. The price is paid. You are now justified. You can go." That's what Christ came to do. God does not ignore our sins. He sees it plainly, but then He sees the sacrifice of His Son. He says, "That is sufficient for the sin. It is sufficient. It is over. You are forgiven." But that forgiveness is not just out of goodness. It is paid with a price. Because He's a just God. And He says, "It is sufficient. It is enough." He did not just die for our sins. He was raised unto life for our justification. It was a sign to us. It was almost like, remember the two sacrifices that was made by Esau and his brother. The one was accepted and the one was rejected. How was it seen to be accepted or rejected? By the smoke. That what rised up was accepted and that what was scattered was rejected. And God rose His Son as a sign to us that it is sufficient. The sacrifice for your Son, it is sufficient. And more than that, the power of sin is broken. Because He took all my sin and all my shame and faced the consequence, and then God made Him alive. He rose. He raised Him up again. He rose from the dead. He is alive forever and ever. I wish we can hang something around our necks that symbolizes the resurrection. Maybe that's what we do when we wear nothing. Because my sin is taken away. How powerful was that? Because of our sin, humanity is separated from God. And we are incapable of the intended relationship with God. But something happened when God sent His Son. You know, Scripture calls us, as sinners, objects of wrath. Because God has to exert his wrath to those who break his law. That's what Ephesians 2 verse 3 says. Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and in the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And without somebody stepping in, we could never face God without fear. We could never face God without receiving the just penalty of our sins. But you know what? God never intended us to face His wrath. He never intended that. So therefore, He sent His Son and He said, my Son, and that is Hebrews 10, and I don't have enough time, but you can read that encounter between the Father and the Son before the incarnation. He says, my Son, I want you to be the sacrifice. Because the law and all the sacrifices of blood and of blood of the bulls and goats, it doesn't satisfy me. So I've made you a body. So I want you to be the sacrifice. So the Son came to be the sacrifice that would set us free forever, because God's will is not for any man to be lost. God's will is not for any man to go to hell. His desire is to see every man be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So He sent His Son so that we not perish but have eternal life. So He took all our sin and placed it upon Him. And if you accept the sacrifice God made for you, God accepts you. And that's so powerful. God sees us in our weakness, in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, and He loves us so much that He sends His Son and He pours all His wrath that we deserve on His Son, and He punishes Him. So that whosoever believes Him, whoever accepts that sacrifice God has made, we didn't do that. It is by grace, it's not our own works. The sacrifice He has made, whoever accepts that sacrifice, God accepts. How powerful is that? And if you're unsure whether that sacrifice is sufficient, just go look at the tomb. It's empty. It's no longer there. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, His wrath remains on you. And you should be fearful. Because without Christ, we will face the wrath of God and suffer the consequences of our sins. But that has never been God's intention. It's never been His heart. So He went to extreme lengths to make a way for us to be set free. And that is His Son on the cross. So we have obtained forgiveness and eternal life by believing in Jesus and turning from our sins. Believing in Jesus is what makes all the benefits of the resurrection yours. If you have faith in Him, all the benefits of His death and resurrection are yours. And the greatest of that, is that we can go to God without fear. We can run to Him like a child to a father, expecting a loving embrace and being embraced. Not being disappointed, but being love accepted and celebrated. That is why He sent His Son. Faith is what unites us to Christ and allows us to be saved from our sin. In choosing to continue in unbelief is choosing to remain under God's wrath. And that's the challenge of humanity. That is John 3, 16, 17, and then it goes on 18, 19, 20, 21, and it says at the end there, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the darkness, but men loved darkness rather than the light. But God has come to put before us life and death, and He says, choose life. I've come to give you my Son because I don't want you to perish. I want you to have life. Choose life. I've done everything for you. Like with Abram, I shared a Sunday or two ago about the covenant that God made with Himself to show to us the unchanging nature of His promises. When there was nothing higher to swore by, to make an oath by, He swore by Himself. And He put Abram to sleep and He cut covenant with Himself. Then He sent His Son. He Himself became man and He cut covenant with Himself. He says, whoever believes in this will be saved. You don't have to do anything except have faith in Him and turn from your sins. So it's not our effort, it's His. What a great expression of love. He says, choose life. Choose life. 2,000 years later, he still speaks. He still says, choose life. I love you. I love you so much. I've given everything so that you can have life. Choose life.
Do not miss out on this amazing gift that God offers. Do not miss out.
He says, I love you. Choose life.
I have given you my son so that you can have life. The fourth thing that's so powerful about the resurrection is that through the resurrection, God gives us the power to live a Christian life. Now, I wish I had more time, but Romans 8, verse 10 to 13 says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the bodies, you will live. Now, certainly the Bible doesn't teach that we will be sinless in this physical mortal body. But it does speak about the fact that God, by His grace, not only gave His Son, but through His death and resurrection, has given us the power to live the life that He desires. And that the Spirit Himself helps us to live the life that He requires. So not only did He break the judgment and the power of sin and death over our lives, is also, through the resurrection of Christ, have made access to me and you to the Spirit of Christ that raised Christ from the dead, so in our own bodies we can live the life as free people. Because we are no longer under sin. We're no longer bondage to sin. He has broken the power of sin and death so that we can be free, and whoever the Son set free is free indeed. And He has given us the Spirit in us to enable us to live the life that He designed. That's part of the resurrection. The fact that we believe not only in His death and resurrection, but the fact that we put our faith and trust in it. We appropriate it. We make it ourselves. And the Scripture says, by doing so, we also receive the life that He has. But that's for another time. By His grace, He enables us to overcome sin as we yield to Him, to live a life that reflects and glorifies Him. And as I was writing that, it became so evident how powerful God's salvation is towards us. Not just to forgive, but to empower us to live the life that He desires. So there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are more than conquerors in Christ. And there's nothing that is impossible. Because He is in me is greater than He is in the world, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fifth thing that made the resurrection so powerful is through the resurrection, we saw a glimpse of who we will be. That we too will be resurrected. That one day too, we will stand before God, in a new heaven, a new kingdom with a new body. We'll be raised like Him. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, it says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man comes also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. How powerful is that? Death came through one man, but so does the resurrection from the dead through one man. Death entered through sin and Adam, and resurrection through Christ and faith in Him. Christ is described as the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead, meaning that His resurrection is a forerunner, a glimpse of everyone else who is going to follow. You know, Christians will enjoy the resurrected life just like Christ did, with glorified bodies raised in power forever.
We may suffer in this life with many pains and illnesses, but in the life to come, we'll have a body free of pain and suffering. A glorified body. The resurrection is the triumph and the glorious victory for every believer. It makes this day so special. Not just was my sins forgiven. Not only did Christ bear the consequences of my sin, He was raised to life as a sign that victory is final. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose on the third day. And you know what's even more powerful? He's coming again. He's coming again. The tomb may be empty, but the throne is not. And He'll be coming again. With great expectation to belong for that day. As we will see Him face to face. So why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important to salvation? Well, it demonstrates that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. It demonstrates that that sacrifice that was made was sufficient. And God put its seal on that sacrifice by raising Him up on the third day. It proves that God has the power to raise us from the dead. Because He promises, in the same way I've risen, I've raised my son, I will raise you. So it proves to us that death can be overcome. Because if Christ was risen, so we will also. It enables us to live in the victory that He has over sin. And that's Romans 6. It's so powerful. That through His resurrection, we can have the same power in us to overcome and live the victory that He has given us. And also it guarantees that those who believe in Jesus Christ will not remain dead, but will be resurrected unto eternal life. And this is our blessed hope. This is the significance, and there's a list that goes on, but my time is running out. Today is not just about the fact that Jesus is alive. Today is about the fact that everything that He did is sufficient. It is final. It is over. And everyone that believes can have access to everything that He'd achieved. And that we can have confidence that what God says about the sacrifice is true. What God said about this Jesus is true. That He is the Son of God, that we are forgiven, that we are justified, that we can come to Him without fear, knowing that we accept it. And that the life that He promises is available to each and every one of us. That makes it so powerful. He says, because in Romans 6, it talks about the fact that we have united not only with His death, but also with His resurrection. And then it goes on, it says, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It talks about the fact that now that Christ, as He was risen to new life, lives His life to God, so too, likewise, we can live our life to God in the same power of the resurrection. We have access to this life. Scripture says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. I want to encourage you this Sunday, not just to celebrate the fact that He is alive, but to celebrate your salvation through His life. And that we have access to everything that He has promised. You must just believe. You must just appropriate it. You must just pursue it. Every promise in Christ Jesus will always be yes and amen. 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 Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You for our blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Not just in His death, but in His resurrection. Not just in paying the price for our sin, but showing the way to life. Not only dealing with our punishment, but giving us new life so that we can live for You. We've not just been saved by grace, We are being sustained by grace. It is your grace in us that enables us to live the life that you desire for us. And we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for your love for us. That even though we are guilty, you gave your Son. You put all our guilt upon Him so that through faith in Him, we can be free. And Lord, today we worship with millions of Christians all over the world. We worship. And we thank you for this great sacrifice. And we thank you for the life that Christ lives today. A life that we can live. It is a new beginning. It is a fresh start. It is a clean page. Father, today, as we stand here and celebrate what you have done, your desire for us is to take hold of that, what you have done for us. Because in choosing to surrender our life to God and accept the sacrifice that you have made, your name is glorified. And the purpose of your Son's death is fulfilled. And I know this morning, God, you have a desire to see those who have not yet accepted, those who have not yet experienced, those who have not yet lived this life that you have promised, to have an opportunity to do so today. So it is with great boldness and joy that I make a declaration, an invitation. For those who have not yet accepted Christ, those who have not have confidence in eternal life, that this morning you have an opportunity to accept that sacrifice made for you. And while all the eyes are closed, if that is you this morning, and you want to be sure, you want to embrace, you want to appropriate, you want to make that sacrifice yours, I want to give you an opportunity just to respond to God in faith. And say, yes, God, I'm here. I want to receive your gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if that is you, I just want you to raise your hand just where you are. Give you an opportunity this morning just to receive Him. For some of us, it is a struggle in our hearts. For some of us are struggling because we have a desire, I sense, to start all over. God wants to give us an opportunity to do that this morning. That is what the empty tomb is all about. It is a new beginning. It is a new start. And I know specifically as I was preparing, the Lord just laid on my heart, there's some of us here this morning that you are struggling. You are struggling with your past and you have such a desire to start all over again. God is speaking to you this morning and I don't know who you are, but if that is you, God wants you to respond to Him also. He wants to give you a clean start, a new slate. Now that you, I just want you to respond also by just raising your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to receive that. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. God sees your heart and He has given His Son so that you can have a new start. That the old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And Father, I want to thank you for these hands and I want to give an opportunity. If there's anybody else that wants to respond to this invitation, this is what today is all about. This is what today is all about. You want to surrender your life to God on this Easter Sunday, you can have the life that is promised for you for eternity. I'm going to give you an opportunity, if that is you, just to respond. Is there anybody else? Father, I want to thank you for those hands, for those hearts. Lord, I want to thank you for those that responded to you. Lord, I thank you that today, Lord, the purpose of your Son's death and resurrection is fulfilled once again as people surrender their life to you through a simple act of faith. Through a simple act of faith. It's an act of faith that calls us to humble ourselves and to surrender to you. To surrender to you and to trust you. I thank you, God, for your word that is true. I thank you, God, for every heart that responded. Lord, I thank you that you give a new beginning. and a new start. I thank you that heaven rejoices because the purpose of your Son's death and resurrection is fulfilled. So God, we glorify you. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we too will be bold like the women, not afraid to share this good news. That the death of the Son is sufficient for all sin and every sin. So that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. God, this morning I pray for that boldness to share and respond. In Jesus' name.